Blog Talk Radio.
Happy Sunday, everyone. You are listening to Voices for Justice on November 1st, 2009. I'm Michelle Bart, your host today, along with our special guest, Mr. News, to most of you, and to us, our friend Mark Williams. Mark will be taking your calls. The call-in number is 347-838-8622, or you can also join us in the live chat room at blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes. Good morning or afternoon in your case, Mr. News. How are you, Mark?
I'm just fine, Michelle, and it's afternoon here in the east coast of Florida. I'm in my mobile newsroom right now, blasting southbound on Interstate 95 near St. Augustine, doing the show with you. I mean, technology has come so far that I can talk to you at 72 miles an hour. Somebody else driving, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say, I hope somebody else is driving at this time.
Yeah, my bride's driving. My bride of 32 years.
Wow, 32 years. Well, congratulations to the both of you.
Well, I was just a young pup at the time, I think 10 or 12.
You're too funny. How was your Halloween? Did you dress up?
I dressed up as a how should I say this nicely, as a multi-platform journalist. I dressed up, and it really didn't take much. Just a fedora with a little thing with a little card in the little band that said dress, and that's how I dressed up.
Well, I hope to see those photos soon on Facebook or on your website, definitely. You want to mention that website, by the way? Everyone can also go to the panel link on Blog Talk Radio if you want to talk with Mark or drop him a line. Mark, you want to give out that address?
Sure, and it's a very simple address. It's www.halifaxareanewswatch.com, and I have daily news in there, and really my site covers news in East Central Florida, North Brevard County, Volusia County, where Daytona Beach is located, and Flagler County. And since my job was eliminated with the radio station in Daytona Beach, I decided to go electronically, and I've been more successful there than I really have on the radio, which is just absolutely amazing. But anyway, HalifaxAreaNewsWatch.com, or they can email me at MrNews70 at Yahoo.com.
At Yahoo.com?
Yeah.
Okay. You mentioned since you no longer have that position, you've gone electronically. Diane Diamond was on the show last week, and she was mentioning how newspapers are going to be a thing of the past in her time on the earth. So do you agree with that?
I'll respectfully disagree, because there are people who still like that feel of newsprint in the morning. I know when my boss came around saying, do you need the printed edition of like the Daytona Beach News Journal? I said, yeah, I really do, because even though they have an electronic edition, which I always got a heads up on, I always liked the feel of the newspaper, the more in-depth feel of it, and the more in-depth look of it. I've been reading newspapers since I was a youngster, and never worked for a newspaper, but I think newspapers are still here to stay. But some of these newspapers that can't make it are going electronically, like the Rocky Mountain, the paper in Denver, and the one in your
Seattle.
Neck of the woods. I think that's
Seattle.
And they go electronically, and they become a success.
Yeah, electronically seems to work for many, but I agree with you. Newspapers for me also. First thing in the morning, and I think the likes of the bigger cheeses in the world, like Donald Trump, starts his day off with numerous amounts of newspapers in the morning before he gets going. So I believe he was quoted as saying that last week on television. So But in the news, you all in Florida have a lot going on. I mean, I don't know who's hotter, you or the news. I'm telling you, Florida seems to have a lot going on, and at the helm of it all are kidnapped and missing children. I guess maybe it's the climate out there that sparks this epidemic. But tell us a little bit about Summer Thompson. For our listeners, she's the 7-year-old from Florida whose body was found in a dump in Georgia. What's going on in that case? I heard that a sex offender is linked possibly to that case, and why hasn't there been any arrests yet?
Well, and I've been following this case very closely because they found the little Summer Thompson's body in a landfill not more than 10 miles from where we stayed the past 2 days, and just west of Folkston, Georgia. So I was familiar with the area, and when the sheriff there said, well, they found the body in Folkston, I couldn't believe it, but that's where Waste Management takes all their debris from Orange Park. The deal is right now, and I looked at it a little bit this morning, is the fact that they have more than 2,000 leads that the Clay County Sheriff's Department is tracking down right now, or they already have investigated. Give you a situation, just place this in your mind. Jacksonville, of course, is in northwest or northeast Florida, and it's Interstate 95 goes through there. 295 goes around the outside edge of it. Orange Park is in Clay County, which is just to the southwest of it. Basically, it's a bedroom community. And the little girl went missing 2 weeks ago on a Monday, 2 weeks ago tomorrow, and her body was found a couple of days later in the Cheshire Island landfill in Charlton County, just west of Folkston. The deal is the sheriff is downplaying any reports that they have a person of interest or anything along this line. I'll tell you what, this sheriff, Rick Bressler, is very good at what he does. It was one of his detectives who had been with him for the past 10 years saying, Sheriff, I have this hunch, let's follow the garbage trucks out of town, especially from that area where she disappeared. And they did. Everything went to the transfer station. From the transfer station, it went to the landfill. And that's where they found the remains, legs sticking out of nearly 100 tons of garbage on that load. And it was just great police work that they were able to find Summer Thompson's body, or this could have been the perfect crime. The sheriff is not saying anything. He is doing something that I do all along, remain tight-lipped. He and his investigators, there has been no leaks to the media. There's been nothing like that. And he has played this thing right down the line, and they're going to get this individual who they're looking for.
Yeah, you know, at first when they said it was found in Georgia, one would think, okay, well, you know, was it somebody heading out of town? But then it came out that she possibly was placed in a garbage somewhere right close by her house, and that's how it ended up in the landfill. Is that correct?
That's about it. One of the things they did, she disappeared on her mile-long walk home from school, from an elementary school to her home. One of the things that she did was there's this burned-out house along her route, and they've been working on it. Construction crews have been working on it for the past month. And she stopped in. She was just this vivacious little 7-year-old who never knew anything about fear. She stopped at the house, and she said, you know, you're doing a good job, and this is not the first time she had done this, okay? From that point on, she vanished. Nobody knew where she was. The only person they've talked about as a person of interest is a gentleman whose brother's company was reconstructing the house. He is a sex offender, and the deal is they went to his house and they confiscated his truck and a trailer that was attached to it. But from that point on, the sheriff has remained very much tight-lipped as to any suspects, where their leads are going in this case, and that's basically where it ended. He just said, we questioned this guy, and that was it. And as a matter of fact, one of the TV stations in Jacksonville broke that story.
Yeah, the mother, and I believe it was the father recently that was on one of the shows on CNN, had mentioned that there was ash or soot actually on Summer when they found her, which led them to believe she was last seen in that house. Is that what you're hearing on your end?
Well, the deal is, Michelle, is that as soon as that word of the house came up, surfaced, the crime scene techs were in there. They corked it off like a crime scene, and they went through the place with a fine-tooth comb, bringing in lights. They must have had two dozen crime scene specialists there. The other thing is that there was a dumpster close to that house, and they went to the dumpster, okay, and they got the obviously got the name of the company who was doing this job, and but here's the other thing. The fellow who was a sex offender who worked on this job hasn't worked there for the past month. So that throws another monkey wrench into the works as well. So your guess is as good as mine, but they spent 24 hours at that home before releasing him back to the owner.
It's sure sad in today's world. I know I was talking to family over the weekend about this case and, like, the Elizabeth Alton case, the young girl out of Missouri, that you can't walk home from school anymore. I mean, I'm from South Florida, and I remember I was in fifth grade, and Westchester Elementary School was in Coral Springs. But I had to go to Atlantic West Elementary in the next city over. I believe it was called Margate or something. And I had to ride my bike every day about 4.5 miles each way to get to school because Westchester filled up or we got bused or something like that. And I think about that, you know, a fifth grader could ride 5 miles each way, 10 miles a day to and from school. And nobody had a care in the world about that. Today, there is no way in hell that children can do that. Children can't even walk a mile home without something happening. And I think that is just horrible, just horrible. These sex offenders, you know, there has to be a different law. I know I'm preaching to the choir, Mark, but there just has to be a different law or some kind of placement. You know, I don't see the statistics that are there that these pedophiles, whether men or women, you know, like we're seeing in the Sandra Cantu case, that these people are able to, you know, be fixed, you know, and it's just horrible, just horrible. You mentioned the detective on Summer's case, Rick, being closed-lipped. From my perspective, the investigators on the Haley Cummings case have been pretty tight-lipped as well. Do you agree?
I agree 100%. They have reached a dead end on that case. This is a little girl that went missing in February, and the last person to see her alive was Haley Cummings. Or not Haley Cummings, Misty.
Misty Cummings. Are they divorced yet?
They're divorced,
can't
they're divorced.
With the Joneses, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, it's I need a scorecard every now and again. This is how it keeps me straight. But anyway, little Misty was the last person to see Haley alive. And she holds the key to the entire thing. The sheriff's office even said that. And, of course, she has appeared on some national television shows and has given some conflicting information. So they're just waiting for her to really screw up so they can throw the book at her. Now, how would you like to be 17 years of age, divorced for the first time, smoke cigarettes, trying to look like a punk bitch out there? And the deal is that you hold the key to your stepdaughter's disappearance.
Yeah. Definitely not a good thing.
No.
Are you? You're still with us, Mark. In regards to her, though, you know, let's make it clear, she did not go on all of those interviews with the support or the advice from counsel or public relations or a publicist of sorts. She did that on her own merit, which is why she's now attorneyless and husbandless and everything else for that matter. Everything starts stacking up against her. And I'll tell you, our friend Tim Miller came out a couple weeks ago and said that Haley Cummings is dead. Do you believe that?
Oh, I've always said that. When she was gone, when she went missing for the first 48 hours, the first 72 hours, and they didn't find a trace of her, I kind of, it's my personal feeling that she's no longer with us, because videotape would have surfaced of this trial someplace.
Exactly.
And because you're videotaped 22 times a day, whether you know it or not, whether you're in a public place, if you go to the airport, they can just literally follow you from the time you get out of your car to the time that you step on the airplane. Orlando International Airport in Florida is famous for that. And you talk about people who go on national television against the advice of their attorneys. And I'm going to bring this up because we're going to eventually get to it. The Anthonys are a perfect case. Mark DeJane, who was their lawyer of record for a very short period of time, said, keep your mouth shut. Don't go on any television shows. Don't do anything. Just stay in the background. Let investigators do their work. But what do the Anthonys do? They get on national television. Their last appearance was 2 weeks ago on CBS's 48 Hours Mystery, which was just an absolute puffball piece. And then they went on a cruise.
Yeah, yeah. We'll get to that one in a minute there, Mark. I knew you were going to bring up the cruise.
Oh.
I believe everyone can also tune into Levi Page's show. I believe they're going to be doing a show also on Haley Cummings as well as the Kaylee case. In regards to Haley, yes, from the get-go, that child most likely was killed. But what is all this stuff about, you know, she overdosed on pills and, you know, and all of this kind of crap? If these kids knew what happened, then why hasn't there been an arrest?
Yeah, and I don't think, I mean, that was always a popular theory out there, Michelle, that she overdosed on pills. But any young child who would overdose on pills, even if they were crushed up and put in some sort of a liquid, would probably spit them out almost automatically. You remember as a kid, and myself as a kid growing up, you know, our parents tried to give us pills or medication, and we'd spit it up right away. Okay, because we didn't like the taste or it just didn't go down well enough. And I don't think that's the case. I think she was taken, and then she was, there's water nearby filled with alligators, and I think that's where she ended up. I think probably down the road they may find some remains, but I think a gator has got her.
You know, I've heard that story or that that assumption on the Kaylee Anthony case from Leonard Padilla for months, that a gator got her, and obviously that wasn't the case back in December. So I guess that's a good segue. What the heck is going on with Crunk? Here he was fired this week from the Orange County Utilities company that he worked with. I'm not a fan of Crunk. Don't believe a word he's had to say all along, so I'll make that clear right now. But it seems as if everybody that has something to do with this case that might possibly hold the smoking gun for the defense seem to be let go from Orange County. What's going on with Crunk?
Well, here's the deal with Roy Crunk, who discovered Kaylee's body on December 11th, about 9 o'clock in the morning. After that, they took him off the street because of his notoriety, okay, and which was a good thing to do. And they promoted him to inventory inside. They kept him inside just due to the fact that he kept his job, he did a good job, and he worked in the inventory section for people needing, for other people needing new meters or whatever. He would take care of all that. And the deal is, he allegedly hurt himself in July, and he went on workman's comp for a month or 2 months or so. He was supposed to return to work. Well, he never, A, showed up, never called in, never did diddly squat. So the county had no other choice but to separate themselves from Mr. Kronk, because Mr. Kronk did not do what he was supposed to do. He had certain benchmarks to hit. Go to the doctors, report in, saying, you know, what does the doctor say, you know, how you feeling, things like that. He never did that. And so
if he never did that, could it be that there wasn't a doctor willing to risk their license to speculate on something that might be the matter with him greater than he's thinking?
Well, here's the deal. Obviously, no, I don't think that's the case, Michelle, because, you know, if it's a simple workman's comp deal and if he hurt himself at work, there's witnesses obviously at work saying that, yeah, he hurt himself. He was seen in the emergency room. I mean, there's certain procedures you go through. I don't think that's the case. I think Mr. Kronk just didn't. He may have gone to the doctor, but he never called his employer, Orange County Utilities, the Orlando Utility Commission. So consequently, that was the nail in his coffin, that so the county can separate themselves from Mr. Kronk.
Interesting. Sounds to me as if Mr. Kronk and all the money that he made on his public appearances gave him a celebrity status that he felt that his job wasn't worthwhile anymore.
Let me put it this way. You know, he didn't make that much money on those appearances. You know, the county paid for – see, and here's the other thing. The county paid for his legal fees, and if he comes back up in court, if he shows up in court during the Anthony trial – the county's not going to back him one bit. He would have been better off to keep reporting to work saying, Jesus, I'm hurt, you know, and with the county in back of him to pay for his legal fees. But now this guy, you know, whatever money he made, which wasn't that much, is gone.
Right, but what I'm hearing you say is that the county had no other choice, but yet in documents I have read, it states as if Kronk's attorney is stating that they're going to look for a restitution and possibly, you know, take on the city after all of this.
I don't think they have a leg to stand on, Michelle. Supposed to reach benchmarks, and he didn't. He didn't come through with those benchmarks. And so when the county struck him out as long as they could, because if were any other employee other than Roy Kronk, the county, Orange County, would have gotten rid of that person and would have gotten somebody else to replace him. And they stood by him when the fees came, when David Evans started charging his legal fees. Those legal fees amounted to either $11,000 or $12,000, and the county even paid when they said they needed more. The county even came through with that. So the county was standing behind Kronk. But when Kronk doesn't meet those benchmarks, they have no other choice but to fire him.
It will be very interesting to see what's going to happen with him and the trial, yeah. Which brings me into my next question. What is going on? Anything new on the Casey Anthony trial coming up in 2010?
Well, we have no date set for that. A couple of things have happened since you and I chatted last time. First off, the judge in the case says the civil trial against Casey Anthony will be going forward before the murder trial ever begins. That's number one. Number two is Jose Baez, her lead attorney right now, has always said Casey didn't dump the body there, and maybe Casey didn't even murder the child. So they've said this forever, and what has happened is the Judge Strickland finally said, okay, you have until February 1st to tell me who you think is involved in this. No ifs, ands, or buts. Okay, he's put the rubber down. And instead of February 1st, I would have said December 1st. These folks are dragging this thing out. The Anthony defense team is dragging this out as long as they can because they want all the television time that they can get for the Anthony family to try and plant that seed of doubt in a potential juror's mind that she can do it.
I have no comment on that. I don't know what they're doing. So that, to me, would be an assumption, but I would hope that they would end it soon. Just like we spoke last time, I believe that the sooner they end it, the less cost that will go into play with the citizens and the residents of Florida and a lot of other avenues that are involved with this
person. This trial has already cost the county at least $1 million. This is leading up to this.
Ridiculous.
It's cost the county $1 million. It's going to cost a lot more money, especially if they have a change of venue. But let me put this out. I watched the 48 hours special 2 weeks ago with their anchor. Their anchor has interviewed the Anthonys before, and literally, it's all been softball questions. There's been no comment from the other side. Lamar Lawson has not. I don't even know if they've offered Lamar Lawson any time to respond to what they had to say. The entire show was BS.
I knew for months that that show was going to take place, and I'll tell you, I really expected it to totally be a defense of the case at hand. I did not expect them to have the likes of Jesse Grund and John Morgan, or is that his name, on there. Yeah, the attorney John Morgan. I didn't expect them to have those folks on there. I expected it to be a voice in support of the Anthonys, but I think they stayed neutral on their delivery. Whatever the Anthonys had to say and do, they didn't just keep it to them. They also brought in the people that are disputing anybody's belief from the Anthony family. So I thought 48 Hours did well on it. Who spoke and what people said on it was a different story. And I guess, again, nobody's going to know anything until it comes out in court.
You hit it on the head.
You know, but again, if somebody has a smoking gun, you know, unless it's the defense, obviously, but if it's the prosecution, why wait to go to court? If you've got a smoking gun that would make this alleged murderer come to grips with it and say, yes, I did do it, I want a plea, why wouldn't you do that? You know, but I'm no attorney. But I am a fan of CNN, so we have about 2 minutes left of this show, Mark. CNN, I read recently, is ranking last in ratings. What's up with that? Because I'm a huge fan of CNN, and I think, you know, cases like the Balloon Boy and all of those that, yeah, your local media is serving it up also, but 24/7, you want late-breaking news, you get it from CNN. Any thoughts on that? Because I know we're both fans of CNN.
Yeah, and I think CNN is the news channel, not headline news, has kind of lost its way. I remember when that first came on the air in 1980. I mean, it was all news all the time. But then they branched out into CNN headline news, which is nothing more than a wheel. Who knows? I think times are changing. There's another generation watching another set of cable news channels. Obviously, the Fox News channel is getting a hell of a lot of mileage out of Barack Obama these days. That was very wrong for Barack to try and take on Fox. And I think people are figuring out MSNBC and some of the other channels that are out there. And there's regional channels, too. Central Florida News 13 for local news, I know, in our area. So
yeah, they're good.
I think it's just you had one dog in the block. Now you have a half dozen or so, okay, plus the web and everything else.
Now, when they determine the statistical or the ratings, rather, of a broadcast station or a cable station, do they include also the traffic on their websites?
No. I would just be over the air. I think websites are done completely different.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, it would have to be.
If our listeners go to CNN.com also, you'll notice that the website has been enhanced and updated, and it's looking really good. So any last thoughts, Mark? Again, folks listening, for more information on Mark or to contact him directly, his link is on blogtalkradio.com/helpingheroes. And his page is under panel. You'll see panel Mark Williams. Any last thoughts, Mark?
Well, my last thoughts are I do a lot of commentary or some commentary on my website, HalifaxAreaNewsWatch.com. And I put one together when I found out the Anthonys were on their sea cruise. And it starts off with, call me crazy, and you're free to do so. You know, you have a dead granddaughter, you have a daughter in jail, and you go on a sea cruise, you know, to the Bahamas. You know, but anyway, it's all in there. Also, I do daily news updates, and under podcasts, you see what I really like to do is shoot a lot of videotape of railroads. So, hopefully I'm the Renaissance person out there.
Well, I think when we have some more time, I think we'll explore a little bit more of the cases at hand. I think more information and developments will arise as far as the cruise and all of that goes. I personally believe if Mark Niejame and the likes of were still representing their best interest, things might be a tad bit different, but we can't judge families in general for what they can and can't do after, you know, a child's been murdered and found in their family. So, but I hope and pray that justice prevails in all of these cases. Thanks again for joining us, Mark. Our next show is this coming Wednesday, November 4th, as we explore the Amanda Knox case. Our guest panel is going to include attorney Ann Bremner, Dr. Dale Archer, and forensic expert Dr. Larry Kobolinski, which we know is part of the defense for Casey Anthony also. So have a great week, everyone. Thanks again, Mark. And remember, all of us have the power to make a difference. And I leave you with this thought. What are you doing this week to have a voice for justice? Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you and speak to you on Wednesday. Thanks again, Mark.
You bet. Anytime.
Once more I'm here again, baby.